This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and this is another episode of Mickey Miles and More. With me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hello, Christopher. How are you?
I'm good. We're trying something new tonight for those at home playing the home edition. Mike and Michelle are sharing a microphone, so we're working on the logistics of making it sound great.
Sharing Mike's mic.
Mike's mic. What's it like being so close to greatness, Michelle?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask Mike.
Well, I'm talking to you first, so.
Yeah, there's an R. I don't know how to describe it.
Body odor?
People stop him in the street in New Hampshire and say, are you...
Are you the famous?
Yeah, my ring is getting moist.
Ew. Well, that voice you heard with some weird, odd statement is the charming Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike.
Kiss my ring like the Pope, okay?
Wow.
Hey, Chris, how are you? How are you?
I'm okay.
How are you doing?
A moist ring.
Getting ready for shot number two, I hope.
Yeah, as of this recording, my wife will go for her second tomorrow, my son the following day, and then 2 days after that, I go for mine. What's funny in my family is, other than my first son who got an early shot, I was the first to get a shot, but I've got the Moderna, whereas my wife and my other son have the Pfizer shot, so they're getting theirs before I get mine, so it's sort of a little bit of a... I'm like the, it's the Chris Oreo vaccine cookie. They're in between my two shots. So.
I am Team Moderna too. Yeah. And I'm clearing out my calendar to not do anything.
As I said earlier, before we started recording, it's the Parton pinch. Dolly Parton donated to the Moderna vaccine. So thanks, Dolly. I owe you. So. Anyway, so we're back again to talk about upcoming summer Disney World trips and what it's going to take for us to go and what we're looking forward to changes and what's going to make us want to go. So I figured, Mike, at first we're going to talk about what has changed. And I understand there's a slight change in Epcot. Is that correct?
So one of the things that we were looking at the last couple of weeks were guest experiences, and everything is pretty much status quo from the last 2 weeks, although I have seen a change in the entertainment for Epcot. They are, at least for the month of April, they have been putting a lot of the entertainment on the stage at the American Gardens Theater. For instance, the something that I know is very near and dear to Michelle's heart, the mariachi band, is now appearing on the American Gardens Theater stage. There are Voices of Liberty performances on there. There's another Mexican band. I think it's called Marimba something or other. I've noticed that.
That's
change.
A weird name. Marimba something or another?
Marimba something or other. And actually, I'm going to give you the real name. The real name
Marada.
Is... Marimba de las Americas, music from Mexico and throughout Latin America.
Said with a perfect accent.
So for those keeping score at home, the Mariachi band is on Sunday, Monday, Friday, and Saturdays, and Thursdays. And the Marimba band is on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Voices of Liberty, they're on every day. And then they've got these other things going on. They call the one of the other bands... the M80s, that quote recaptures all the best of the 1980s. And then there's something called Latin Ambition, which is a Latin American party band. And finally, excuse me, there's a, this looks very interesting. It's called City Beautiful Bandstand. It's made up of bands from Orlando, and they're called the City Beautiful. And they have 80s pop, Latin pop, they call it epic pop, and then there's something called vintage pop, a vintage vinyl band, and then there's Motown in Motion, and the then something called the Hooligans. It's very much similar to when they used to have the Flower Power Music Festival.
Yeah.
So basically that's what that is. But that's something that I thought was significant to mention, because really there's been a paucity, as they say, of entertainment since COVID came on. Yeah. So that's a real interesting change.
Interesting. So it's nice to hear that they're starting to bring back some of the plussing of the parks. But that's only Epcot, right? We haven't seen any of the other parks adding anything back. Any of the
That's about it, Chris. There's really not much else that has changed. There have been some little things that have been coming up, but we'll get to them down the road. There have been some other changes, but nothing in terms of real impact on the guest experience.
Yeah. I wonder if what are the actors and actresses in Hollywood Studios, the street performers, what are they called?
Citizens of America, Citizens of Hollywood. I don't think that they've been around for a while.
I mean, that's hard too, right? I mean, can you imagine trying to do like a 1930s movie thing and you got the masks on? It kind of ruins the illusion, right?
But it's interesting when you think about the mariachi band and the way that they're in front of Mexico. With the times that I've been there, people are sort of crunched in to see them, and the cast members move you closer because there needs to be a line of people walking behind you.
And they're spitting through their horns right at you.
Right. But I wonder, I don't know what the American Gardens Theater is like in terms of how they're spreading people out, but I like that it offers an opportunity for people to see them. And they're a huge favorite of mine. I always have to stop and listen to them. But it's safer. It sounds safer to me.
One of the things that we saw last March, and we were just, I think we were giddy when we saw this, the mariachi band, they played Remember Me. They had a puppet that looked like Miguel from Coco. And I mean, it was about 4 feet high, and he's playing the guitar, and it's just, it's pretty cool. So my hope is that they have included that little act for the American Gardens Theater.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Chris, are you getting convinced that you should go?
Look, every time we have one of these conversations, it's more fuel to convince my wife to go. I think she's broken over, like, you know, it's sort of like there's a breaking point, and she was sort of like, all right, we're definitely going, but I'm not happy about this. And so we sort of have been going through, and I'm waiting. She just walked in the door. I heard her walk, and she went out for a walk, and I gave her a survey that we're going to discuss later. I'm hoping she's going to get it back to me in time for us to start talking about it.
On the show.
Yeah.
I've asked her to come on. She does not like doing this kind of stuff. She hates it. She hates talking on podcasts.
Get her some wine.
I know, right? We should just tell her we're talking and not tell her we're recording, and then just have her on. But one of the big things that she was asking about too, Mike, was operating hours. And she wants to know, like, I want to go to the parks late at night and, you know, go walk around World Showcase, have a glass of wine and enjoy the atmosphere. Has anything changed with the hours?
Well, you know, Chris, we talked about them last week, and we talked about how they announced there were operating hours that were being changed as of April 11th. And then there was a new release this week that talked about the operating hours for April 18th to the 24th. And again, those are dates where you will have a lot of school children who are on vacation, possibly going down there. And I can tell you that, so the Magic Kingdom will open at those hours. They will be open from 8 till 9.
And this is every day, right?
This is every day between the April 18th and the 24th. I don't know what's going to happen after that.
The sun is just setting again.
Yeah, my assumption is that we will see them increase again. Epcot is now going to be open until 11, but that seems pretty normal to us that it opens till 11. The studios is now being opened. They're opening at 9, and they're closing at 8. But let me put a little asterisk next to that. There's not much opened as far as his attractions and things to do in the studios, I could tell you it's not that much. And one of the things that I'm wondering about is, you know, Galaxy's Edge Rise of the Resistance is probably packed because there's not much else going on in that park. But that park is opening at 9 and closing at 8. And finally, Animal Kingdom, they are opening at 8 o'clock and they're closing at 8 o'clock. So there's been an increase over the last couple of weeks of announcements that the parks are opening up. I don't know when they will announce if there are going to be summer hours. I'm assuming that there will be. And again, it's going to depend upon a lot of things. One of the concerns, of course, we've talked about this, Chris, is capacity. And when they open up those portions of the resorts which are closed, will that have an impact on what they're doing with capacity? Right now I'm hearing capacity is 35%. I keep checking that as much as I can, and that just seems to be the number that keeps coming up.
Yeah, you and I were going back and forth a little bit earlier because I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is also a Disney fanatic, and we were talking about the idea of the park hopping, which is another discussion that my wife and I have about, like, it was interesting. So the question I had was, you have a park reservation at the Magic Kingdom, but you have a dining reservation, say, let me put it this way. You have a reservation at Epcot. You go there. At 2 o'clock, you leave, you go to the Magic Kingdom, but you have a dining reservation at Epcot. Can you get back into Epcot? And the question was, if it's at capacity, can you get back in to go get your dining reservation? If not, what happens? And he reached out to a cast member friend who apparently I stirred up a bee's nest because they all had different answers. Nobody knew what the answer was within the cast members. Like, some said, yes, since you have a reservation, you can get in. Some were saying no. Some were saying once you move to another park, that's it. You're stuck there or you're done. So it was an interesting thing. Then the question is, do they expand? Are they by the time we go, like if we're going in August, are they expanding the capacity even more than 35%?
Yeah, you shared that with me, Chris, mm-hmm. and I took that and I ran with it, and I contacted Disney and I sent them a question and I said, can you tell me if there are any plans to have some type of resource available for guests so that if a guest is thinking about moving park hopping to a park after 2 o'clock, that guest would be able to look at this resource and see if whether or not, for instance, the Magic Kingdom is at capacity at 3 o'clock or the Animal Kingdom is at capacity at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I have not heard back from them, but I would hope that they would have something like that in place if they are not going to increase capacity.
Right.
But if you were, I mentioned this to you, if you were leaving Magic Kingdom on July 4th, which is, you know, a day that they very often will just close the gates because it's at capacity. If you were leaving, regardless of whether or not you had a reservation, you would not be let in. And I think that's fair. You know, there's might be another family that's been waiting. I don't know. To me, that seems reasonable.
True. And Mike, you did say there was like a number you could call to check to see if what the capacity was at. Is that right?
You told me that there was a number, but we don't know what that number is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was you, but okay. So now let's talk about masks. Do you want to move on to masks a little
sure.
bit?
Yeah. So interesting.
Because that's the other thing, Mike. You know, we're like.
Yeah.
Okay. After this question, we'll talk a little bit more, but go ahead.
So there are a couple of interesting things about masks. So the mayor of Orange County is Jerry Demings. His wife, Val Demings, is a Democrat representative for the for that area of Florida. And he was asked about the mask mandate. There was an Orange County mask mandate that was put in place. I forget when it was. And he was asked if that would ever be removed. And he said and intimated that there was a possibility that the mask update may change based on the number of people who are vaccinated. And so there's a feeling that he may remove that mask mandate sometime in June. So we'll see. Of course, that doesn't mean that Disney would actually remove that. But it's funny that also this week we saw a relaxation of the mask policy in the Disney theme parks.
For money.
Yes. So isn't it funny how they talked about how, you know, PhotoPass was not doing well because nobody wants to have their pictures taken with masks on. So now you can remove your masks if you're taking photos, and especially if you want a PhotoPass photographer to take your pictures. So to me, it's just, okay, we need to do something with this PhotoPass revenue stream. It's not happening. So I have, you know, it's a conspiracy theory, I'm sure, but I'm thinking that that's one of the things.
Well, no, of course. Of course, they're seeing, you know, they're trying to, look, they're a corporation. I do not blame them, Michelle, that they want to make some money, and that includes the photo pass. And, you know, their numbers are way down this year, and they're looking every which way to get their money stream up and running. So do you have a problem with them doing that?
Yeah, I do. But I have a clarifying question. Are you saying that any guest can take off their mask if they're staying in place and taking a photo?
That's what it sounds like. It doesn't not just sound like only for PhotoPass. Yeah. It sounds like anybody. But you can't be moving, you know.
Okay. Well, interesting to think how that's gonna be reinforced, you know. I did hear that Universal for the 8th day in a row was at capacity. So people are raring to come back, you know.
Yeah. I don't know what the capacity number is for Universal. Is it lower than the Disney park? You got to remember too, they were the first one to reopen up, and they kind of got back into it pretty quickly.
But just thinking about the real estate, Chris, of each of those two parks, it has to be a lot lower.
I would think, because they're a much smaller park, or two parks. But it's interesting. But so the other thing, Michelle, we were talking a little bit earlier, and it was a question I had from last week's episode as I was talking to my wife, which was, every morning when we're on vacation, I know it sounds weird, we love to go running, and we stay normally at the Yacht Club pretty much every single time. And there's a wonderful loop that we do. There's two of them, actually. One goes, we go out, we go across the bridge, and we run up to Hollywood Studios, and then we come back, and then we go around the boardwalk and come back to our hotel, and we kind of do a few laps of that. Or as you're running up towards Hollywood Studios, you can go up this side ramp, and it brings you up onto a main road, and you can follow on the outskirts and follow the main roads around Disney, and you can actually run all the way around the Epcot hotels, and we like to do those. But when we're going, it's going to be August, it's going to be very hot, and I would assume they're going to require a mask. Would that deter you from going out for a run just while you're on vacation?
It wouldn't, because I've done that run in the morning, and I don't think, if it's before the parks are open, which I think is what you're talking about, I haven't seen a ton of people, so I would probably just take the mask off when nobody's there, and then when I pass somebody, put it back on. But I've done that many, many times, and it wouldn't stop me. I would do the same thing.
Mike, would you, well, I know you're not running right now, but would you wear a t-shirt that says I'm vaccinated as you run and not wear a mask?
I would wear a t-shirt, but I would bring the mask, and I would do exactly what Michelle said. I would, at that time, and I've run there real early in the morning. I've run that route that you've mentioned. I've run that at 4:30 in the morning, and there's nobody around, and it's nice and cool, and this was during the summer, and it's the best time to run down there. And if you run, like Michelle said, early in the morning, there's no need for a mask, but I would carry one just in case. I gotta think that walking around the resorts is just like walking in the park. You need to have a mask.
I was in Boston last week, driving by the Charles River, and in the morning, just a ton of people, and I saw a ton of runners, and they all had their masks on for the entire time, because you're passing people all the time. But I think in the situation that you're talking about, it's the go-getters who get up early and walkers and runners. And
we're up before the sun comes up.
Yeah, like in a typical situation, there aren't tons of people there. So I would definitely do it. So that is 1 point in favor of you coming.
Oh, yeah. No, it was just more of a question that I had in terms of have they even, you know, as the one podcast that actually talks about running with Disney, you know, that was one of my questions was, oh, yeah, we do this running thing. I know it's funny because, and totally going on a tangent for a second, is I really want to, like, now I really want to get back and do a Disney race. And my friend Nate, again, contacted me, who I got him into the Disney races. And he's like, have you heard anything? Have you heard anything about the marathon weekend? What's going on? What's going on? Because he really wants to sign up and go. And I sure hope, you know, I know it's been tough because they don't really know yet. They can't predict the future. But I wish they would sort of give us, hey, here's the honest truth. We don't know where we're going to be in January. We're hoping to run a race, but we don't know yet. We're going to limit it maybe. I wish they would come forward with some kind of information because people are really looking to train. I'm looking to train. I didn't think I was going to be doing this again. Like, I thought I was going to kind of cut back, but how do you find out, Mike? Like, how do we, like, what do we do to get some info?
Well, there are some contacts that are down there that that we can check in on. I mean, there are some that I can check on in certain times, and as we get closer towards the fall, I'll do whatever I can to find out. But my guess is that we all know how many people are at those marathon weekends. I mean, it's just packed with people. To me, I think it's more crowded than when I've been down there at Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter or July 4th. I think there are more people that weekend than any other weekend in the year, and therefore I don't see it happening. I don't think we'll be, you know, what's his name, Chapik, the heir apparent to Bob, what's his name, said he doesn't think that there will be a need for masks in 2022. Now, does that include January? I don't know. I just can't see the social distancing issues with the fans, with us in the corrals running. I just, what happens when you go to a water stop? You have to take your mask off and drink. I just don't see it happening until a year from now. We'll see the dark side maybe returning. That's the earliest. I'm predicting that's the earliest we'll see Run Disney back in business. Michelle?
But the Boston Marathon is happening in October. 20,000 people.
In
so
October,
it's,
though.
Yeah. But to me, that's hope that Dave McGilvery and his team are finding, you know, there's some reason to believe that they can do this. I think it's going to be very, very staggered, but there's a virtual component too. But I think that, you know, you look to these big races to sort of lead the way for things like Run Disney. And I think that it definitely gives me hope. Will it be 26,000 people in the marathon?
I don't think. Do you think they're going to get to wine and dine this year or not? I mean, when would be the cutoff for them to actually announce it so people could train?
Do you mean for the marathon weekend, Chris?
No, for wine and dine.
Oh, for wine and dine. I would say,
because that's usually November, I believe.
Yeah, I would say that's probably going to be sometime in June or July, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking they're going to give people 90 to 120 days. And I think part of that is the processing of applications and all that stuff and the ordering of merchandise. They need to give a lot of areas, a lot of places, some lead times for that. So I think that the lead times are usually 90 to 120 days from things like merchandise.
But also training. I mean,
volunteers. You know, we volunteered way in advance. We knew. So I think that announcement, I would say it could come as early as sometime in July.
Yeah. I mean, because you want to know. I mean, it is a half marathon, so the training time will be lower than if you were doing a full marathon. But so it would be nice to announce it. But I did see that they are doing some more virtual runs. This time it's a Lion King-based run that's going on. So if you're still looking to do Disney runs, you can do a virtual Disney run, Lion King related. If you want to get a medal with a Lion King character, I'm sure that's the way to go. Then there's the thing that I don't give a rat's patootie about. Apparently, something is going or not going down with the Disney cruises, Michael. Or Michelle, you know, whoever you want to tell me what's not going on with them.
You know, that the Disney Cruise Line information and issues is really on a lot of people's minds. Those people who are going on Disney cruises in August, they will be looking at this month to book excursions and things like dinners or brunches. So those people, like us, thinking, you know, we need to know. And if they are saying, you know, April 24th will be the day that you need to schedule things, then maybe they're thinking that things are going to happen. Now, I don't recall if we said this last time on our show, but there are about 24 cruise lines, major and minor, who have been saying, we're going to cruise starting late spring and into the summer and into the fall. Of those 24, I believe 3 or 4 of them have said, we're going to cruise, but our crew needs to be fully vaccinated and all cruise guests must be vaccinated. I saw this week in some forum, it's not been verified. I don't know if it's the truth. This could be a rumor that Disney is considering this. I have no proof that they are. I have no proof that they're not, but there are some indications that they see what others are doing, especially Royal Caribbean, who I think is probably their biggest competitor. And they're thinking about this and how they would do this. And then it brings up the political issue of vaccine passports. Michelle?
But they canceled all sailings through June.
They did cancel sailings through June.
That was the big news this week.
Yeah.
Don't care. don't care. Doesn't affect me in the slightest.
Somebody has a cruise scheduled in August. I care. But the Fantasy is still on for August. So. And I will go.
Oh, hey. All right. You and Mike can go. I'm not going. I want to run through a couple of things real quick, and then we're going to get to your little survey thing. The fifth and final show platform barge for the upcoming Harmonious Nighttime Spectacular is now in place in World Showcase, which is good to see, which makes me believe that my answer was right, that they're going to buy the 50th anniversary and have fireworks. The spire ribbons on the castle in Magic Kingdom have started going up. Mears is going to be creating their own Magic Express program. I guess they outsourced that one.
Yep.
And Michelle, what's this news about Magic Mobile? Us Apple people, is there any news that we should be aware of?
Well, Apple people are all set. I have it all set up on my watch and my wallet on my phone. But I guess this week it came out on Android.
Do people actually have Android phones?
That's what I hear. That's the rumor.
Weird.
I don't know. I think it's really, I've wanted it for years. I, you know, Magic Bands, whatever. They're fun. I know a lot of people like them. To me, it's just, I've thrown away more than
I can remember. Are you really surprised that it's, I mean, I expected it to be available on Android. If you can get to My Disney Experience on Android, why not be able to do this?
No, they want it on everywhere.
Super easy. I mean, you know, it took 5 minutes to set up.
Yeah. That's the thing,
as somebody who used to have young boys, what it would be like to manage the whole family, because I used to give them their annual passes and snatch them out of their hands as soon as we went through the gate. But
I know. My sons are older. My one son has not been wearing his watch for a while, and so I was like, "You better start charging it because you're going to need it come August." But what's funny is I've got the first generation Apple Watch, and I think it's dead. Like it is just. I mean, it's still in good shape, I think, but I think it's just to the point now where the operating system is just not going to update on it. So I need to go out and get a new one. So thanks, Disney. Now I have to spend how much money for a new Apple Watch?
$300? $500.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Thanks, Disney. Finally, before we let you all go, Mike and I were talking about an idea of just sort of like our own little survey. Mike's going to give us a few questions about again, based on my idea that what is it going to take to get me to go back and my wife to go back? And is there a survey question from 0 to 10, what issues that are going to be presented that you're not going to have in your next trip that will affect you, your decision to go or not go? So, Mike, do you have a list of questions for us?
Yeah, I need to say that this was Michelle's idea. It wasn't really my idea. I took it and I flew with it, so I just thought I would steal it, and I want to thank her for it. We talked a lot about it, and
I'll expect my royalty check.
Yes, yeah. but having said that, I said to her, "Do you want me to tell you about the details when I flesh it out?" She said, "No, let's wait till we do the show." So
yeah, perfect.
Wait to do the show. So let me backtrack a little bit, Chris. The whole idea here is to look at all the different components that draw us to Walt Disney World, what we like to see, what we like to do, what we like to experience. Mm-hmm. And I thought that if we broke them down and we ranked each component, it would give us an idea as to really, number one, what's important to us, and number two, would we go back this year knowing what we know right now? So I have these components, and what I'm going to do is ask each of you to give me a number. So, and the numbers are going to be from 1 to 5, not 1 to 10, because it got too complicated and I didn't realize there would be math. So, so if I give you a component and it's not important to you,
it's called the Likert scale.
Oh, the Likert scale. Okay. If I give you a component, I want you to tell me if it's not important to you, and that's, you can give me one of two numbers, 1 or 2. If it's somewhat important or it's nice to have, I want you to let me know, and that's going to be a 3. Mm-hmm. If you say it's important, very important, you need to tell me how important. Is it going to be a 4 or a 5? The higher the number, the more important it is. Right. At the end, we're going to add them all up, and we're going to see how things work out, and if any of us have subliminally said yes, we're going this year.
So yeah. This is like a little survey in Cosmo or something to see if your boyfriend is good enough.
Yeah,
yeah,
I will.
Okay. It's Disney.
Yeah, we should preface this by saying that it's going to be just you two, so it's two adults. I am the father of adult boys, so we're not talking about people with little kids. So we should definitely. If you want, I think, listen to these questions and go onto our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast on Facebook and tell us what you think your votes would be, because I think if you have children, some of these answers might be different. Correct?
Good point.
So okay. Basically, the higher the score, the more important these things are to you for your decision making.
Right. Right. And what I have also figured out is at the end when I add them up, If one of us scores between 70 and 100, we're saying it's worth going this year. If we score between 50 and 60, we're not sure. We're still on the fence, mm-hmm. like you, Chris, probably.
I'm fascinated to find out what the result is.
This is actually Chris-inspired.
Yeah,
this
Chris and Audra, really.
Think
yeah.
About it, yeah. Yeah, because yeah. We're thinking, is there an instrument that you could use to measure whether or not they should go?
And if you score 20 to 40, you're staying home. Okay.
And let's also say that this is based on where it stands now, not potentially in the future where things may improve, get better.
Correct. Okay. That's a very important point. So when we talk about each one of these, we're saying, how do we feel about it right now? Okay.
Right.
So I'm going to give Michelle the first.
It's not validated.
Well, as we move forward towards.
It's what we know.
But as we move forward towards our trips, it'd be interesting to see if things improve in those categories.
Right.
If the numbers change and. We arc towards the justice portion of the program. But all right, go.
Okay, so the first area is spontaneity. How important is spontaneity to you down there? So actually what we're going to do is we're going to rank what it is down there on 1 to 5, if it's going on, and then we're also going to have ours. So for instance, the spontaneity is not there like it used to be. So I would say it's because of the park reservation system and a few other things, so enclosure. So I'm going to say that I would give the current spontaneity a 1. But how important is that to you, Michelle?
3.
at 3. Chris?
It's interesting because we do like to make plans, but we're always up for calling an audible. I think it's fairly important. I think it's a 4.
Yeah, for me. I'm going to say 4. All right, Chris, you're up first on this one. Mm-hmm. How important is it for you to have down there the availability to do special tours, behind the scenes, things like that? There are none now, so that's
That's a 1. We haven't done many. I've done a VIP tour, which is something different. But we're so good at this stuff, it doesn't matter to me. So 1 or 2. 2 is fine. Maybe if I want to do a VIP tour.
I'm going to say a 3. Michelle?
1.
Okay, the next one is an interesting one. It's WDW Transportation. And that's really crazy because the monorail is not running right now. So I think the Skyline is running. Of course, the buses are running. I'm not sure about the boats. So I'm going to give it a 2. As far as being important to me, it's not important because I always have a car. I'm going to say 1, not important to me. Michelle?
1, but I want to point out that these scores are going to be low.
For Disney, yeah.
But it doesn't mean I don't want to go.
Okay.
I should stay home.
Okay. Is it a 1? Walt Disney World Transportation, Christopher.
We use it all the time. I will say we definitely sometimes take the minivans, or we take an Uber or something like that. But we do constantly use the monorail, the boats, the buses. There's something I was telling you previously that I love going on the monorail if we're at the Magic Kingdom and working our way through Epcot to go back to our hotels later in the day. Like, it's just one little thing. So for me, it's like a 4.
Okay.
I almost lean towards a 5, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. If the buses are working,
okay,
we can do that.
Okay, Michelle, I think I know how you're going to rank this one. The Disney Springs experience, how important is that to you? I think it's running. I'm sorry. What would you say it's running down there? 4 right now? Or Disney Springs?
So is it at capacity?
Well, I mean...
You're asking 2 questions.
Okay, number 1, how do we feel Disney Springs is...
For me, it's a 5.
For you, it's a 5. But what about now? What do you think it is down there? Do you think it's equal to a 5 right now?
3.
Chris, Disney Springs?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. It's before it became Disney Springs, it wasn't a huge deal for me, but they really made us want to go there. I want to say a 5.
It's going to be different. I'm going to say 4.
Chris, you say
5. He did say
5. That's what
you want to say. He did say 5. Let's go with Chris first on this one.
Yeah.
The experience of shopping at Walt Disney World, how important is that to you?
3. It doesn't really... If it's there, it's there. It's not... We're not big shoppers.
Yeah, for me, it's 2. Back in the day, it was, for me, but now it's just a 2. I don't need anything. Michelle?
1.
Where do you think it stands right now? Shopping is always available, right?
Well, shopping is always available. I think that store availability and store accessibility has an impact here, so I'm going to say it's a 3 right now. Mm. Okay, here's a real one. This is going to hit a nerve. I'm going to go, I think I'm first on it. Extra Mad was, I think it's very important because Perk is not there right now, so this is a 1. But for me, a 5. Michelle?
I'd say 5.
5. Chris?
I'm going to say it's a 4. We don't always take advantage of them, but it's nice to know that they're there. We can go in and get, you know, extra magic hours when at night or in the morning before everybody gets there. So those are good.
This next one is... very much what we had talked about, especially I know this would strike a nerve with us. It's sort of related to extra hours. Walking around the parks late at night just before closing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was that? Do you,
Is that me first or is Michelle first?
You first.
That's a five. That's one of the, like, literally when my wife and I were having the discussion about going down, her question was, will we be able to walk around the parks at night? Just, you know, go to Epcot World Showcase, grab a glass of wine and stroll around the park and see the sights, go shopping, whatever. So five is a big one.
Michelle? I tell me if you guys agree with this. I said it's a one because the parks aren't open really late.
Plus, also you can't get back in depending on availability, right?
So. Exactly. Let's start off with Michelle. Pools. Pool experience, five. Chris?
Yeah, big five. We it's Stormalong Bay. We're at Yacht Club, and that's part of the reason, a very large reason why we stay at the Yacht Club is for that pool. And if we don't have accessibility or have to sit and wear a mask while we're sitting by the pool, it's going to be devastating.
I don't know what's going on with the pools down there, so I don't know how to rate the current.
I know what's going on with the pools. I have a former cast member friend who told me that people don't have their masks when they're swimming, obviously, but they do when they're sitting.
Ugh.
So the pools are out there and they're being used and everything?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to say five or four.
Michelle, I will say this, though. We like to sit reading a book while you're sitting in the pool. Like, that's our big thing. We love to just read while we're standing in the shallow end. I wonder if that's possible. I wonder if they'll let you do that. Well, the question is, are you swimming around the pool or are you just sitting?
I think it's if you're in the pool, you don't need your mask.
Such a bizarre rule, right? Because, like, 2 feet away, you'd be sitting in your lounge chair.
There's chlorine.
It's not in your mouth. You're not gargling with it.
Well, the next.
Dunk your Kindle in the corner.
The next area is resort life, and that is the experience of, you know, not just, you know, enjoying your own resort, but being able to go to any resort and, you know, walk around and see what's going on. I think that it's a somewhat of a big deal for me. I'm going to say it's a four for me. Michelle?
Four.
Four. Chris?
Yeah, I agree, a four.
To me, that includes, I think, of like going to Animal Kingdom for dinner, walking around the resort, having a drink for dinner.
I think it's a week three right now because not all the resorts are open. Dessert parties, how important are they to you, Chris?
One. We never do them.
Michelle?
Three.
I'm going to say five because I use them for comfort when I'm watching fireworks. I don't have people around me and I can stretch out. I can sit down. So that's why I have it a five. There are none, so it's a one right now. Attraction availability, and that is, you know, right now it's probably a, at best I'd say maybe a three. For me, I think it should be a five because you're paying top dollar for admission, Michelle. Chris?
For which now? I'm sorry.
Attraction availability.
Are you talking about rides? Or are you just talking about like meet
everything.
And greets?
All kinds of what they consider rides attractions. So, you know, Space Mountain is an attraction as well as Country Bear Jamboree. That's an attraction.
But okay, because you're saying, is like a Mickey meet and greet? Is that an attraction
That's.
Because it depends. I think for me, it's
no. That's down the road. I have that on the
okay.
list.
Okay. So if we're talking rides, it's. It's a five. I mean, that's why do you go to Disney World unless it's to go on attractions, go on rides?
Okay, park entertainment.
Hmm.
Musical interludes and streetmosphere, things like that.
That's like a. That's a. It's a three, I think, for me.
Michelle?
I'd say it's a four.
I've seen it really drop. over the last 35, 40 years. And it was very much a big part of the vacations. So I'd say it's a 5. And right now it's probably a 2.
Yeah, but you still go. Like, that's the point. Like, you still go even though the entertainment has gone down, right? So isn't the point of this to say, if you don't have this, you're not going to go? Or how important is this to deciding about going or not going? So if there's no entertainment, you'd say, I'm not going at all?
Yeah, there's going to be 4 scores. And the score that each of us has is going to be up against the current state down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that'll tell us. That'll tell us. Okay, let's go with Michelle first. Parades. 1. I didn't know it was 1. Really? Wow. Chris?
1. The only reason they're there is to prevent me from getting across the park to get to the attraction I want to go to.
I'm going to say 3. Well, we know it's a 1 because there's no 1. How about fireworks? Chris, you first.
It's a 3. I wouldn't like that they're not there, but it wouldn't prevent me from not going. Or wouldn't prevent me from...
I'm going to call these nighttime spectaculars. So it would be like Fantasmic as well?
Right.
Fantasmic.
And Star Wars, the... Yeah.
Michelle?
It's a 5.
5 with me. 5 with me, too. I think I'm going to scratch this one. It's not really... It's stupid. It was called Treats Experience. I don't know about that. How about restaurant experience? Restaurant availability. Michelle, you first.
5.
Chris?
Ditto.
Yeah, me too. I think it's around a... It's between a 3 and a 4 right now because there are a lot that are open. I'm going to say 3 right now. All right, Chris, here's the character meet and greet. How important is that to you?
1. Can we go below a 1?
Yeah, I'm a 1, Michelle.
With Chris,
but like we said, if you have children, that might be a 5.
Right, but this is us.
Right. But that's why you should go to our Facebook page.
Exactly.
And tell us what you think.
Okay. The last 2 are going to be really interesting. So I'm going to go to Michelle first. How important are the crowd levels? Do you want them? Maybe this should not be asked. How important are the crowd levels to you? I'm not sure if that's...
Well, it could be capacity.
Yeah.
I would say it's a 5. Because if I went on the first day of my vacation, it was crazy, wall-to-wall people. My science part of my brain would be
Yeah, it's weird. Like, for capacity, I'd like it really high, but I wouldn't like a lot of people in there. Right? I want the availability there so I can go to the park, but not have a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Which is everybody's dream, right? That's just the thing. What was your number, Michelle?
It's super important to me.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say the same thing.
But the current, did you say 3 for the current? Yeah. Last but not least, probably the most important question. How important would it be for you to have the guests be required to be fully vaccinated before being put into the park?
12? 69?
I think we're all 5, and I'm going to put a 1 down for that. All right, so if you...
Can you add it up while I give you... So
yes.
I gave Audra a list... Slightly different from while you're adding it up. I said from between 0 and 10, 10 being most likely to cancel the trip. If this was unimportant, she would say 0. If it meant this happening, then she would not go. So if there were no fireworks, she said 4 out of 10. If you have to wear full-time masks, it's an 8 out of 10. So she's really close to canceling if she has to wear a mask all the time. No parades, it's 0. Doesn't matter to her. If she can't park hop, it's an 8. So for her, that means she can't, almost close to canceling the trip. Character meet and greets, doesn't care. No monorail. She did say it'd be a 5 out of 10. So it's not, it's like me, a make or break. if you needed a vaccine card, like you need to have present a card. She said zero. I think she likes the idea of people having the cards. Park reservations. So she hates the idea of having to make park reservations, and that's a seven. Interesting. I had said, because they are now at a no fast pass zone, if there are no fast passes, she's at a nine. She would almost cancel the trip if we didn't have fast passes. So that's a pretty telling difference between us, I think. Plus, you didn't mention a couple of those. I thought of these on my own, Mike, and we missed a couple, huh?
Great minds.
So she wouldn't go? There are no fast passes.
I think she feels like it improves our trip vastly to have the fast passes. Because we tend to get the fast passes early. We get through a park, and then we head back and sit by the pool. And then we come back later and go to dinner and then walk the parks at night. So I can see why she was not happy with that choice.
So I've tabulated the scores, and give it's it really us. Interesting. We're really close to Michelle was a 64. Chris was a 65, and I was a 68. And what that means is that when these particular areas make us feel like it's worth going, because we were actually we're between the not sure and the worth going, but right now those, if they were in place, it would be worth going. Now, having said that, we also ranked the current state down there, and the score was a 35. Oof. That means stay home,
right?
So we were comparing what's important to us to the current state. Yeah. And from what we have said, for us, it's not worth going, you know?
At this point, certain things change. Today.
Today, as of today.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, and what we said all along, and we assume that things will change down the road, you know, there will be more operating, the operating hours will change. There may be, you know, there the fireworks and stuff like that, Michelle?
You know, but what you didn't measure is that I've been in Nashua, New Hampshire for
that's true.
13 months now. I have not been really out of my house at all. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm listening to Disney Park music all day long as I grade, because I just need to get out of this bubble. There's that feeling of walking under the train station and seeing the castle. There's music. There's the smell of popcorn. There's a lot of stuff that you can't quantify. But if I am vaccinated and feel that the capacity's down, that, you know, I'll sit on a bench and just beat the air. That's all I'm going to do at this point.
It sounds like what would be better would be to have some kind of a survey that says, would this deter you from wanting to go? Would this discourage you from going? Like, I don't know, really minimal park operating hours, you know. No, I'm not going to go unless there's such and such.
I'm not going to lie. At the beginning of this, when they first opened up, I didn't think that people were making a good decision to go. But now that we're vaccinated, people are wearing masks, the park capacity is low, I feel safe.
It's a big difference when you're vaccinated than when you're not vaccinated. There's a big difference when there are, you know, 100,000 people being infected or dying every day compared to 4,000 or 3,000. So I think feeling a little bit safer helps, but there are a lot of things down there that people go for. They, especially as Chris mentioned, if you have a family with young children, the character meet and greets are pretty big. The parades are pretty big. The fireworks are essential. So if those are not available, then why bring a young family? For adults, it's a different story.
And again,
we have the story this week of this guy who was kicked out of the boathouse for not agreeing to a temperature check. He spent $15,000 on his vacation, and he was dragged out by the officers. And that makes me feel good, though. You know, I'm sorry for him and for his family, but yay for the rest of us, because I feel like they're really trying to keep people safe, and it's very little to give up.
Yeah. Safety is the one thing. And like I said, the other thing is also value for your dollar and getting the things that you're normally paying for. These trips are very expensive. And sometimes when you don't get the full value for your dollar, it gets frustrating. I hope they sort of, I doubt they will, but I would wish they would, you know, make things a little bit better in certain ways. You know, like the Year of a Million Dreams was a great way, like surprising people with little, and sometimes they're nothings. They're, here's a free ice cream bar. Have a fun night. You know, those things went a long way. They forgot that, how that year made so many new Disney fans who were lifers, you know, going into Casey's and them handing you a free bag of, you know, what's that popcorn thing? Cracker Jacks. And like just saying, hey, have some Cracker Jacks. And you're like, oh my God, this is so sweet. And it's a $2 bag. But yet, you know, I still remember that. I remember getting that and going, that was so great. I want to come back. And I, you know, we've talked about this in the past that I think they're forgetting what makes a long-term Disney fan and visitor is the little things like that, when they're trying to save dollars by not giving any extras in terms of entertainment or little things that are, to the company, would not cost a lot. It makes you a lifelong guest.
The anniversary themes like Remember the Magic will be something that lasts with a lot of people. I think that they still have plans to have their 50th. You mentioned earlier, Chris, the ribbons, the gold ribbons that are going around this fire. We talked about the last Harmonious barge and the stage being put into place. And also this week, I've seen video of them. Actually, there are, I think there's something like 50 of them. There are these big light things, and they've been practicing them swirling around. So they're doing a lot of tests, and they intend to do something come October 1st. So, you know, let's just hope that this vaccination effort is really, you know, producing a somewhat of a herd immunity. Michelle, do you recall, what is it, 75%? Need to be vaccinated for her immunity.
Yeah, I mean, look, hey, I wish they would do like a welcome home event right around the 50th, right? Welcome home, you know, and they start doing the same things like they did. But well, we promised ourselves we were going to do a half hour at most. We've got, we went an hour again.
How much we want to talk about this?
Well, just plus so I love talking to you guys.
To go home.
Yeah, but there's a lot of to be discussed. So, but we're going to wrap it up there for this episode of Mickey Miles and More. But if you do want to continue this conversation, please join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast. Or you can catch us on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. That'd be fun. And let us know what your numbers are, and let us know if you're closer to going or not going. So on behalf of Dr. Michelle Scrivener-McLean, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.